Coach, can you just talk about your defense? It seems like that's going to be the key to getting your season turned around a little bit.
I think a good defense in the National Football League is going to be the key for anybody's good season. We've got to do a better job of tackling right now. You know, we're letting the ball get out. We're missing tackles. So we're going to work extremely hard, and we have worked extremely hard in practice to make sure we're taking proper angles to the ball. We have our hat in the right place. We understand what the forcing unit is, and you're exactly right. If we don't play better on defensively, it's going to be a long year for us. All right, guys, good talking to you.
Coach, what do you tell your team to keep them motivated with everything else that's going on this year?
Yeah, I tell my team behind closed doors that we're going to stay together. And obviously, I think that you know this, what we say behind closed doors is going to stay behind closed doors. So I'm not going to sit here and write a book and tell you what I tell our guys. I think we've got a resilient football team. Coincidentally, when we first came here in 06, Sean and Mickey's blueprint was to try to build the same kind of organization and the same kind of stability that the Philadelphia Eagles have had for all these years. And, you know, Sean and I were both in Philadelphia, and we worked for Jeff Lurie, and then Joe Banner was there, and Andy Reid actually took our place. So we've tried to build our program from the bottom up with a strong foundation and character guys. So this is not a football team every day where you got to take an air hose and stick it in the rear and pump them up. They're self-motivated players that understand when they make a mistake. They're very critical of their own performances. And we remind our players around here that the journey is the reward. Getting better together is a lot of fun.
I'm sure you get that. You get asked this every week since you've been back. But, like, how has the whole Bountygate thing affected your team and everything?
I'm sorry. Say again. What did he say? I didn't hear the question.
I was just saying, like, you know, how this whole Bountygate thing has affected your team.
I really don't have an answer for that. I know this. At the end of the year, when I go in and I want to stay here and I try to get another contract, I certainly can't use this as an excuse for failure. I think our players understand when they go in to get their new piece of paper and sign a new contract, they can't moan and whine that the reason I missed a block or I missed a tackle or I threw an interception or I dropped the ball is I had Bountygate hanging over my head. Everybody's responsible to do their job, but everybody gets evaluated on a daily basis. So it's really not talked about a lot around here. Now, do we miss Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis? Absolutely we do. We miss their leadership. We miss their friendships. But life and the world's going on right now.
Joe, hey guys, good talking to you. Joe, what are some of the memories you have of your time here in Philly?
I was born and raised in Philadelphia, in Blackwood, New Jersey, which I guess is about 4 or 5 miles south of the city. So I've got a lot of family. I've got a lot of friends back there. I've got great memories back there. You know, we came there in 95, which was actually, I think, the second year that Jeffrey had bought the football team. You know, we were all young. We were all grown together. It was an exciting time. That first year, we beat the Detroit Lions in a playoff game, and it was kind of a blowout before the half. And I want to say that the Detroit Lions at the time were on a 10 or 11 game winning streak. They were pretty damn good. And I remember winning that game and then having to play Dallas the following week in a divisional playoff game. And we had beat Dallas one time that year at the Vet, stopped them on two fourth and ones, and lost the playoff game, and then had to stay in Dallas for 3 days because a blizzard came into Philadelphia. And, I mean, I was just joyful to get beat by the Cowboys and have to spend 3 days in Dallas. I mean, it was just wonderful. But I have really good memories back there. There was a lot of people in that organization, you know, Leo Carlin and, you know, just guys like that that have become lifelong friends. And I've known Andy for a long time. And like I said, a lot of my friends and my family are back there.
Talk a little bit about the play of Drew Brees this season. I mean, he seems to sort of be consistently excellent since he got to New Orleans.
I think the key to Drew is, number one, his competitive nature. Number two, he just prepares himself so well every week, physically, mentally, and emotionally, to play the game on Sunday, or in this case, Monday night. He's extremely accountable to his teammates. He's got a great rapport with his receivers and his running backs. I mean, listen, ever since he's been here, he's been a voted captain on our football team. And I've said this before about Drew, and, you know, in my mind, Drew's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's a better person than he is a player. He's just a joy to be around. He's one of those rare stars, I think, that make the people around him better. And I think that's the real quality of a superstar is when you can really make the people around you better and feel good about themselves and feel good about what they're doing. I mean, Drew has always put the needs of his team and his teammates before himself, and I think that's been infectious on our football team.
Joe, Eagles are 3-4. Are you surprised about that? And what do you see when you look at tape of the Eagles?
Listen, I every season takes on a life of its own. I think historically, hey, listen, everybody's going to go through a crisis every year and lose a couple games in a row. I think the strength of the Eagles football team is always getting through these types of crises and making a tremendous run at the end of the year. I mean, that's historically what they've done. They've got a very stable head coach, a veteran coaching staff. They've got a program in place and a plan in place. You take a look at, nobody keeps you up more at night than Michael Vick, the way he can extend it down, his accuracy. They've got a heck of a back in McCoy, who's a Pro Bowl back. They've got a heck of a receiver in DeSean Jackson. Macklin can take the top off of a coverage. I think when you take a look defensively at the athletes they have on defense, they've got two shutdown corners. They've got two pass rushers on the outside, and Trent Cole has always given us everything that we can handle. DeMeco Ryans has been huge as an acquisition to solidify the middle. And I really think this Kendricks kid, who we really like coming out of Cal, fits the style that they play. So as a coach and you're preparing for an opponent, it really doesn't matter what their record is and what's happened in the past. You're preparing for everybody's A game, and they've got a lot of A players with an A coaching staff.
Growing up in South Jersey, did you grow up like an Eagles fan, and do you still keep in touch with a lot of people there?
That's a dumb question. No, I was a Redskin fan. That's a dumb question. Absolutely. I mean, listen, I go back to, hey, Gary Bauman is a tight end, and Jack Kincannon, and hey, listen, are you kidding me? Tim Rosovich, Bill Bradley. Hey, listen, I was a huge Eagles fan. And I'll tell you this, the first time that I was ever able to afford to go to the vet and see a game up close is when I was with the Baltimore Colts. This is 1979. We played a preseason game there. Hell yeah, I was an Eagle fan.
Just checking.
I mean, listen, who's not an Eagle fan back there?
There's some. There's a lot more now.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I just got to get a lot of my friends to this day stop calling WIP. I tell them to go get a job.